Chapter 10. The town is populous and wealthy, having, as above, several considerable merchants and abundance of wealthy shopkeepers, whose trade depends upon supplying the seafaring people that upon so many occasions put into that port. As for gentlemen, I mean, those that are such by family and birth and way of living, it cannot be expected to find many such in a town merely depending on trade, shipping, and seafaring business. Yet I found here some men of value, persons of liberal education, general knowledge, and excellent behavior, whose society obliges me to say that a gentleman might find very agreeable company in Plymouth. From Plymouth we pass the Tamar over a ferry to Saltash, a little, poor, shattered town, the first we set foot on in the county of Cornwall. The Tamar here is very wide, and the ferry boats bad, so that I thought myself well escaped when I got safe on shore in Cornwall. Saltash seems to be the ruins of a larger place, and we saw many houses, as it were, falling down, and I doubt not, but the mice and rats have abandoned many more, as they say they will, when they are likely to fall. Yet this town is governed by a mayor and aldermen, has many privileges, sends members to Parliament, takes toll of all vessels that pass the river, and have the sole oyster fishing in the whole river, which is considerable. Mr. Carew, author of the Survey of Cornwall, tells us a strange story of a dog in this town, of whom it was observed that if they gave him any large bone or piece of meat, he immediately went out of doors with it, and after having disappeared for some time would return again. Upon which, after some time, they watched him, when, to their great surprise, they found that the poor charitable creature carried what he so got to an old decrepit mastiff, which lay in a nest that he had made among the brakes a little way out of the town, and was blind, so that he could not help himself, and there this creature fed him. He adds also that on Sundays or holidays, when he found they made good cheer in the house where he lived, he would go out and bring this old blind dog to the door, and feed him there till he had enough, and then go with him back to his habitation in the country again, and see him safe in. If this story is true, it is very remarkable indeed, and I thought it worth telling, because the author was a person who, they say, might be credited. This town has a kind of jurisdiction upon the river Tamar down to the mouth of the port, so that they claim anchorage of all small ships that enter the river. Their coroner sits upon all dead bodies that are found drowned in the river and the like, but they make not much profit of them. There is a good market here, and that is the best thing to be said of the town. It is also very much increased since the number of the inhabitants are increased at the new town, as I mentioned, as near the dock at the mouth of Hammes, for those people choose rather to go to Saltash to market by water than to walk to Plymouth by land for their provisions. Because, first, as they go in the town boat, the same boat brings home what they buy, so that it is much less trouble. Second, because provisions are bought much cheaper at Saltash than at Plymouth. This, I say, is like to be a very great advantage to the town of Saltash, and may in time put a new face of wealth upon the place. They talk of some merchants beginning to trade here, and they have some ships that use the Newfoundland fishery, but I could not hear of anything considerable they do in it. There is no other considerable town up the Tamar till we come to Launceston, the county town, which I shall take in my return. So I turned west, keeping the south shore of the county to the Land's End. From Saltash I went to Liskeard, about 7 miles. This is a considerable town, well built, has people of fashion in it, and a very great market. It also sends 2 members to Parliament, and is one of the 5 towns called Stannery Towns, that is to say, where the blocks of tin are brought to the coinage, of which, by itself, this coinage of tin is an article very much to the advantage of the towns where it is settled, though the money paid goes another way. This town of Liskeard was once eminent, had a good castle, and a large house, where the ancient dukes of Cornwall kept their court in those days, Also it enjoyed several privileges, especially by the favor of the Black Prince, who as Prince of Wales and Duke of Cornwall resided here. And in return they say this town, and the country round it raised a great body of stout young fellows, who entered into his service, and followed his fortunes in his wars in France, as also in Spain. But these buildings are so decayed, that there are now scarce any of the ruins of the castle, or of the prince's court remaining. The only public edifices they have now to show, are the Guilder Town Hall, on which there is a turret with a fine clock, a very good free school, well provided, a very fine conduit in the marketplace, an ancient large church, and, which is something rare for the county of Cornwall, a large, new-built meeting house for the dissenters, which I name, because they assured me there was but three more, and those very inconsiderable, in all the county of Cornwall, whereas in Devonshire, which is the next county, there are reckoned about 70, some of which are exceeding large and fine. This town is also remarkable for a very great trade in all manufactures of leather, such as boots, shoes, gloves, purses, breeches, and some spinning of late years, is set up here, encouraged by the woolen manufacturers of Devonshire. Between these two towns of Saltash and Lisker de St. Germans, now a village, decayed, and without any market, but the largest parish in the whole county in the bounds of which is contained, as they report, 17 villages, and the town of Saltash among them. For Saltash has no parish church, it seems, of itself, but as a chapel of ease to St. Germans. In the neighborhood of these towns, are many pleasant seats of the Cornish gentry, who are indeed very numerous, though their estates may not be so large as is usual in England, yet neither are they despicable in that part, and in particular this may be said of them that as they generally live cheap, and are more at home than in other counties, so they live more like gentlemen, and keep more within bounds of their estates than the English generally do, take them all together. Add to this, that they are the most sociable, generous, and to one another the kindest, neighbors that are to be found, and as they generally live, as we may say, together, for they are almost always at one another's houses, so they generally intermarry among themselves, the gentlemen seldom going out of the county for a wife, or the ladies for a husband, from whence they say that proverb upon them was raised, viz., that all the Cornish gentlemen are cousins. On the hills north of Liskeard, and in the way between Liskeard and Launceston, there are many tin mines. And, as they told us, some of the richest veins of that metal are found there that are in the whole county. The metal, when cast at the blowing houses in two blocks, being, as above, carried to Liskeard to be coined. From Liskeard, in our course west, we are necessarily carried to the sea coast, because of the river Fowey or Foath, which empties itself into the sea at a very large mouth. And hereby this river rising in the middle of the breadth of the county and running south, and the river Camel rising not far from it and running north, with a like large channel, the land from Bodmin to the western part of the county, is almost made an island and in a manner cut off from the eastern part the peninsula, or neck of land between, being not above 12 miles over. On this south side we came to Foy or Fowey, an ancient town, and formerly very large, nay, not large only, but powerful and potent, for the Foyans, as they were then called, were able to fit out large fleets, not only for merchants' ships, but even of men of war, and with these, not only fought with, but several times vanquished and routed, the squadron of the Cinque-Ports men, who in those days were thought very powerful. Mr. Camden observes, that the town of Foy quarters some part of the arms of every one of those Cinque-Ports with their own, intimating that they had at several times trampled over them all. Certain it is they did often beat them, and took their ships, and brought them as good prizes into their haven of Foy, and carried it so high, that they fitted out their fleets against the French, and took several of their men of war, when they were at war with England, and enriched their town by the spoil of their enemies. Edward IV. Favored them much, and because the French threatened them to come up their river with a powerful navy to burn their town, he caused two forts to be built at the public charge for security of the town and river, which forts at least, some show of them remain there still. But the same King Edward was some time after so disgusted at the townsmen for officiously falling upon the French, after a truce was made and proclaimed, that he effectually disarmed them, took away their whole fleet, ships, tackle, apparel, and furniture, and since that time we do not read of any of their naval exploits, nor that they ever recovered or attempted to recover their strength at sea. However, Foy at this time is a very fair town. It lies extended on the east side of the river for above a mile, the buildings fair. And there are a great many flourishing merchants in it, who have a great share in the fishing trade, especially for pilchards, of which they take a great quantity hereabouts. And this town is also a coinage for the tin, of which a great quantity is dug up in the country north and west of the town. The river Foy, which is very broad and deep here, was formerly navigable by ships of good birth and as high as Listwithiel, an ancient and once a flourishing, but now a decayed town, and as to trade and navigation, quite destitute, which is occasioned by the river being filled up with sands, which, some say, the tides drive up in stormy weather from the sea, others say it is by sands washed from the lead mines in the hills. The last of which, by the way, I take to be a mistake, the sand from the hills, being not of quantity sufficient to fill up the channel of a navigable river, and, if it had, might easily have been stopped by the townspeople from falling into the river. But that the sea has choked up the river with sand, is not only probable, but true, and there are other rivers which suffer in the like manner in this same country. This town of Listwithiel retains, however, several advantages which support its figure as, first, that it is one of the coinage towns, as I call them, or stannery towns, as others call them. Two, the common gaol for the whole stannery is here, as are also the county courts for the whole county of Cornwall. There is a mock cavalcade kept up at this town, which is very remarkable. The particulars, as they are related by Mr. Carew in his Survey of Cornwall, take as follows. Upon Little Easter Sunday the freeholders of this town and manor, by themselves or their deputies, did there assemble, amongst whom one, as it fell to his lot by turn, bravely apparelled, gallantly mounted, with a crown on his head, a scepter in his hand, and a sword borne before him, and dutifully attended by all the rest also on horseback, rode through the principal street to the church. The curate in his best bessine solemnly received him at the churchyard stile, and conducted him to hear divine service, after which he repaired, with the same pomp, to a house provided for that purpose, made a feast to his attendants, kept the tables and himself, and was served with kneeling assay, and all other rites due to the estate of a prince, with which dinner the ceremony ended, and every man returned home again. The pedigree of this usage is derived from so many descents of ages, that the cause and author outreach the remembrance. Hobit, these circumstances afford a conjecture, that it should betoken royalties appertaining to the honor of Cornwall. Behind Foy and nearer to the coast, at the mouth of a small river which some call Low, though without any authority, there stand two towns opposite to one another bearing the name of the river Loo, that is to say, distinguished by the addition of East Loo and West Loo. These are both good trading towns, and especially fishing towns, and, which is very particular, are, like Weymouth and Melcombe, in Dorsetshire, separated only by the creek or river, and yet each of them sends members to Parliament. These towns are joined together by a very beautiful and stately stone bridge having 15 arches. East Loo was the ancienter corporation of the two, and for some ages ago the greater and more considerable town. But now they tell us West Loo is the richest, and has the most ships belonging to it. Were they put together, they would make a very handsome seaport town. They have a great fishing trade here, as well for supply of the country as for merchandise, and the towns are not despisable. But as to sending 4 members to the British Parliament, which is as many as the City of London chooses, that, I confess, seems a little scandalous. But to whom, is none of my business to inquire. Passing from hence, and ferrying over Foy River or the River Foth, call it as you please, we come into a large country without many towns, in it of note, but very well furnished with gentlemen's seats, and a little higher up with tin works. The sea making several deep bays here, they who travel by land are obliged to go higher into the country, to pass above the water, especially at Truardrith Bay, which lies very broad, above 10 miles within the country, which passing at Truardrith, a town of no great note, though the bay takes its name from it, the next inlet of the sea, is the famous further inlet called Falmouth Haven. It is certainly, next to Milford Haven in South Wales, the fairest and best road for shipping, that is in the whole Isle of Britain, whether be considered the depth of water for above 20 miles within land, the safety of riding, sheltered from all kind of winds or storms, the good anchorage, and the many creeks, all navigable, where ships may run in and be safe, so that the like is nowhere to be found. There are 6 or 7 very considerable places upon this haven, and the rivers from it viz. Grampound, Tregony, Truro, Penryn, Falmouth, St. Mawes, and Pendennis. The 3 first of these send members to Parliament. The town of Falmouth, as big as all the 3, and richer than 10 of them, sends none, which imports no more than this that Falmouth itself is not of so great antiquity, as to its rising as those other towns are, and yet the whole haven takes its name from Falmouth too, unless, as some think, the town took its name from the haven, which, however, they give no authority to suggest. St. Mawes and Pendennis are 2 fortifications placed at the points or entrance of this haven, opposite to one another, though not with a communication or view. They are very strong, the first principally by sea, having a good platform of guns pointing athwart the channel, and planted on a level with the water. But Pendennis Castle is strong by land as well as by water, is regularly fortified, has good outworks, and generally a strong garrison. St. Mawes, otherwise called St. Mary's, has a town annexed to the castle, and is a borough sending members to the Parliament. Pendennis is a mere fortress, though there are some habitations in it too, and some at a small distance near the seaside, but not of any great consideration. The town of Falmouth is by much the richest and best trading town in this county, though not so ancient as its neighbor town of Truro, and indeed is in some things obliged to acknowledge the seniority, namely, that in the corporation of Truro the person whom they choose to be their mayor of Truro is also mayor of Falmouth, of course. How the jurisdiction is managed is an account too long for this place. The Truro men also receive several duties collected in Falmouth, particularly wharfage for the merchandises landed or shipped off. But let these advantages be what they will, the town of Falmouth has gotten the trade at least, the best part of it from the other, which is chiefly owing to the situation. For that Falmouth lying upon the sea, but within the entrance, ships of the greatest burthen, come up to the very quays, and the whole Royal Navy might ride safely in the road. Whereas the town of Truro lying far within, and at the mouth of 2 fresh rivers, is not navigable for vessels of above 150 tons or thereabouts. Some have suggested that the original of Falmouth was the having so large a quay, and so good a depth of water at it. The merchants of Truro formerly used it for the place of lading and unlading their ships, as the merchants of Exeter did at Topsham, and this is the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.